Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is your home for free speech, so go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send a donation, keep free speech alive. Also go to nationalbugle.com. Download the Koshertified app. It will help you lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. Okay, with that out of the way, and I do say both, I mean both when I say them, but, you know, you hear it every day. Maybe you get tired of it. It's important every day, though. Free speech and non-kosher certified lifestyle. It's important every day. But at any rate, I have been binge-watching the Derek Chauvin trial. I'm a day behind, so I've read a summary of what happened on Monday, day six. But I've watched all of the first week, and for whatever reasons I will explain, I've decided that I'm going to make myself the 13th juror. Although, you know, I do have opinions on this based on what I have studied over the past 11 months, 10 months, I guess it is, almost over 10 months since the St. George Floyd died. Well, I shouldn't say St. George Floyd, but since he died. And unlike the jury, I'm seeking information elsewhere, although honestly, I don't have a whole lot of time for seeking information because I'm watching the whole trial. I don't know if I'll be able to keep up with that schedule because, you know, the past week I've been doing a lot of carpentry around my house, which allows me to have my ears free. So I did get bogged down with the, what was it, the day four where they were doing all of this video evidence, and I'd have to actually watch. I'm much better off if I'm just listening. But I'm going to try to keep it up as much as possible. So why? Is it some gruesome fascination with George Floyd's death? No, I typically, like the OJ trial, I remember, I don't think I watched any of the trial per se other than news coverage. Now, news coverage was better back then. But I didn't, maybe I watched a bit of it, not a whole lot. I mean, O.J. Simpson, one thing about O.J. Simpson is he was somebody that I remembered from my childhood. I'm trying to remember what year was he, a big shot at USC. Cause I used to watch him at USC, you know, he'd be playing against UCLA or against Stanford or whatever. It was at the Pac-8 back then. And so I knew who he was. When he got into the NFL, he played for the, I guess he played, what, for the Bills? Did he play for somebody else for a while? I remember him with the Bills, but, and I thought he was a disappointment in the NFL, but I guess that's because he didn't play for very good teams. I don't know. But at any rate, I remember him. And one of the things I remember about O.J. Simpson was my mother saying, "He seems like such a nice young man." Because he'd, you know, give interviews and he spoke well. He had good diction, as people would say back then. So there's a little bit of morbid fascination with that. But in this case, it's because, for whatever reason, the George Floyd death was what they decided, and I say they, who are they? What they decided to roll out as the excuse for the massive riots. And they, who are they? Well, it's our elite. Who are our elite? Well, I'll tell you one thing about our elite. It's dominated by Jews. Why do I keep going back to that? Why do I keep going back to the Jews? Well, because the Jews dominate the elite. And the elite, our ruling class, is destroying the country. And we got to keep coming back to what's actually going on, who's involved. And in this case, I mean, the elite is, it goes beyond the media, but the media has such a massive, frankly, culpability for what's going on in terms of, you know, the riots. They were a media-driven affair. And the media knew, the media had access to all of this evidence that's being presented now. And right now you've got two trials going on in America. You've got the one trial inside the courtroom, which is looking at Derek Chauvin's guilt or innocence in the murder and or manslaughter of George Floyd. And if that's all it was, I wouldn't have enough morbid interest to be following this particularly closely. In fact, I wasn't going to follow it. But when I saw that Andrew Anglin said that he wasn't going to follow it very closely and didn't really even care how it turned out, I thought, okay, well, somebody needs to follow it. Ethan Ralph is following it. A lot of other people are. Ethan Ralph, who's a young guy, a gamer, and I was watching the first two days, I was watching his live stream, and then I decided I'm just going to go wall to wall with raw feeds, you know, from PBS or NBC or whatever, without the commentary. Vincent James, who's another young guy, and by the way, I mean, for 2 years, I did podcasts. I did the shows with Mark Collett, and it was called This Week in the Alt-Right, and then switched names to Patriotic Weekly Review. And next week, no, not next week, tomorrow, I better make sure I get this right. Tomorrow is the 100th anniversary episode of that. Not anniversary in terms of year, but 100th show. And I'm going to be the lead-off guest, which is actually quite an honor. It's going to be a four-hour extravaganza. So that will be exciting. That's for Wednesday. So I will say you don't necessarily have to, like, my Wednesday show will not be live. So you can either watch Mark Collett live and then hit me up on the archive, or vice versa. But it's bound to be good. But one of the things about Mark Collett's show, doing that, I did about 100 broadcasts with him, podcasts, was he would get guests on all the time. And a lot of them I didn't know because of the generational issue, but Vincent James, I was on there with Vincent James. I was on there with Ethan Ralph. And I didn't even know who they were at the time. But that was a good thing, and that's one of the good things, and the very important things about Mark Collett, and I feel actually pretty privileged to have him on as a regular guest every week, not just for his insight, of which he has plenty, but also that I think he's really emerging as a key person who is bridging the generation gap, which is important because it's, you know, he acts as an conduit of information exchange and narrative and analytic exchange between the older crowd, of which I'm one, and this younger crowd. Now, I mentioned Vincent James because Vincent James, he's been disseminating a lot of information that younger people are generating. There's the whole 4chan crew. And, you know, the 4chan crew has been generating a lot of information. And, you know, I think this is an important case, not because of what's going on inside the courtroom, not only because of that, but what's going on outside, which I've been following what's going on inside the courtroom mostly. Dr. Duke's been following the outside the courtroom coverage of it, and he's been calling it, you know, a witch trial based on emotion. And it's a trial. What is it a trial of? Is it outside the courtroom? It's not a trial of Derek Chauvin. It's a trial of white people. It's a trial of the white race and the white race's guilt in oppressing black people. That's what the trial is about for society. For if you're Derek Chauvin, it's about you, but that's a trial inside the courtroom walls. But for the rest of the country, it's something else. And so that's why I think it's so important. Now, because what's likely to happen, there's no way that this guy can be convicted of murder, because murder involves intent. And you did see one of the witnesses try to make the case that Chauvin was not just kneeling on the neck, but intentionally trying to shimmy his knee deeper and deeper into George Floyd's coronary artery, or not coronary artery, what it was, the artery that goes up to the, from the heart to the brain, or whatever it's called, I can't remember, in order to squeeze the life out of him, which was a ridiculous thing to say. Now, this witness, who his last name's Williams, his first name slips my mind. I'm pretty sure the last name was Williams. He's an MMA fighter. I think he testified. Was it day two? He testified. And he was the person, if you've seen any of the video, he's the person who, he arrived, and for about the last 5 or 6 minutes before Floyd was taken away, you can just hear him on a loop calling the police, "Bum, you a bum, you a bum. That's a bum thing to do. Hey, hey, you a bum." And just over and over and over, with more obscene things as well, but mostly, I mean, I think he used the word bum 32 times or something. He was just on a loop. And you hear this really more from black people than other, I guess white people can do it too, but it's more of a black thing where, and Floyd was doing it as well, where you just go on a loop, where they just talk and talk incessantly, saying the same thing over and over and over again. Certainly this guy was doing it. George Floyd's was like, "I'm not that kind of guy," out, you know, what was it? Well, he started going on the "I can't breathe" thing. And you can't say "I can't breathe," "I can't breathe" if you can't breathe, because if you can't breathe, you can't talk, you know. And he was on a loop. And of course, the loop started before he was on the ground as well, which, if anything, is more of an indication of a heart attack. But that's not what I'm trying to get at today. Getting back to the Redditors, or the 4chan people, this Williams guy who was on the loop calling the police bums, and I'm, you know, "I'm not afraid of you," and this type of stuff, abusive stuff, and it's at one point threatening stuff. He's an MMA fighter and has apparently had 11 bouts. But what won't come up at the trial, what's not going to come up at the trial, is that this guy is also involved in some Black Panther militia. And also, and I guess this would have happened after the Floyd incident, but there's video of him taking some sort of brick and throwing it through a police car window. So this is like, you know, and even the 4chan people, you know, he was wearing a white shirt, button-down shirt, on the day of he testified, but a lot of white shirts are a little bit translucent, and they were able to identify under the shirt. He was wearing a T-shirt that said "Black Excellence." So whatever, he's some sort of black nationalist or whatever, black supremacist. But, you know, these people are really, really, I mean, once upon a time, these people's characters would have been called into question, you know, and the inside the courtroom, this trial is going to revolve on basically whether there was anything possible that could have been done to save George Floyd from his own self-destructive behavior. And if there was something that possibly could have been done to save George Floyd from his self-destructive behavior, and it wasn't done, then those people who didn't act heroically enough to save his life must be punished. And, you know, this is where we've gotten as a society, where you've got, and it's not just blacks, but right now, I mean, it's in particular, it is blacks. It's mostly blacks, where blacks can engage in self-destructive and or criminal behavior, and whites have to endure it. They have to support it, subsidize it, and they have to be poised to jump in and save blacks from their self-inflicted harm. And if something goes wrong, then the whites are responsible. I mean, the idea that, you know, it's because one thing, it's clear that, Floyd was overdosing. In fact, he had taken these same kinds of pills. These are, what he was on are called speedballs. And they're a mixture of opioids, fentanyl, you know, opioids and methamphetamine. Which is why you would think an opioid overdose, you wouldn't be all excited. But the speedballs, yes, you are excited. And now this middle-aged white girlfriend that he had, she testified that she had taken Floyd to the emergency room only a couple of months earlier with a overdose, where he had taken these speedballs and overdosed. And she said she had taken some of these with him maybe in March, in the weeks leading up to this, and thought she was going to die. She testified to this. So there's absolutely no doubt that George Floyd was overdosing. He was clearly overdosing. The store clerk said he was whacked out. Well, let's see. Whacked out when he was buying the banana and dancing with the banana in the store. Then he went back to the Mercedes, the $50,000 whatever it would cost Mercedes SUV that he was driving, that nobody in the car seemed to be the owner of it, and took more. And you wonder, well, why was he just hanging around in the car when people were coming out and saying that you were counterfeiting? And why didn't he just leave? Well, he didn't leave because he was passed out in the car for a period of time. And he was in the driver's seat, and he was a big guy. And the two passengers wanted to go, but Floyd was in the driver's seat. He was a big guy, and he was non-responsive for a while because he had taken more. And then when the police came, he took even more in order to hide the evidence from the police. So he was all whacked out. Anyway, we are coming up on the break in just a little bit. So it's not just that I want to go over the evidence, but more of the significance for society. So we will be right back.
So you gave him your... As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus.
$500 gets you two Commander memberships at Front Sight. $500 for two Commander memberships. Give one to whomever you would like.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
And we are back, and I am talking, I know I've been talking about the George Floyd trial. I don't want everybody to get sick of it. But, and I'm, you know, I'll be going into some details, but for society, what's it going to mean? Well, we're going to have more riots. Right, gang? Is there any avoiding more riots? What's the possible outcomes of the trial? He can't get convicted for murder. There's no way that, because, you know, this is kind of a Dachshund moment where you've got so many perspectives on this. You've got probably at least a dozen perspectives of video footage, because you have, and from all these different angles, all four police had body cams, although Chauvin's body cam fell off during the struggle. You've got security camera inside the store. You've got security cameras outside the store that are on, you know, privately operated. You've got security cameras at that intersection that are operated by the police. And then you have all these bystanders out with their phone. And by the way, if, you know, I know I mentioned the off-duty female fireman who was there. Now, like, some people are, the liberals are, you know, portraying her as some sort of hero because she was, or at least a sympathetic character because she was offering to do first aid. But the thing is, she was very abusive and confrontational. And if she wanted to do first aid, why was she standing there with her cell phone out? You know, when you're standing in front of the police with your cell phone out, that's you're already taking a confrontational stand. If she wanted to help, obviously, first of all, she should show her ID. Well, she didn't have ID. Why didn't she have ID? Why was she hanging around in a black neighborhood on a, you know, holiday evening, dressed in like sweat clothes without an ID? I mean, did she drive down there? Did she drive without the ID? I don't know. A lot of this backstory for these characters would be good to know, and hopefully the 4chan people can get it. I don't know what she was doing there, but it was bizarre. But the thing is, she was very confrontational. She, from the very get-go, she was standing there with her phone out, and she was, you know, she was trying to take control of the situation. She was ordering the cops to, you know, check his pulse and this and that. And the thing is, the 9.5 minutes that he was on the ground, half the time he was struggling and going on a verbal loop of mama and I can't breathe and this and that, and in a very excited state. And then he calmed down. And so then you have another 4 to 4.5 minutes. Now, about a minute or maybe a minute and a half into that, he was still moving around a bit, and one of the officers commented that, yes, he is breathing. So, but he did, apparently, it seems that he died during those few minutes. But I think it's going to become very clear that, like, he wasn't choked. This had nothing to do with well, it wasn't an air choke. He was breathing. The police weren't doing anything that was restricting his breathing. He was saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, and a whole bunch of other stuff for almost 5 minutes straight on the ground. He was on this verbal loop. And you need a lot of oxygen to do that. And then when he stopped, it was more kind of an exhaustion. And so it wasn't lack of oxygen that he died from. Then the MMA fighter was saying, well, it was a blood choke. They were preventing the blood from going to his neck. But if it was a blood choke, that you go unconscious in a matter of seconds, right? And that's not what happened. And the officer's knee position, Chauvin's knee position, really wasn't changing. I mean, they were... The whole scene was kind of immobile. And so there's nothing that would have happened 4.5 minutes into it that would have, you know, there was no change in the action that would have caused Floyd from going from a situation where he's getting blood to his brain and then he's not getting blood to his brain, other than his own heart stopping. So there wasn't anything inflicted on him. I do want to get into what's going to go with society. Because what I'm saying is, there can't be a intentional murder conviction. All you might be able to get would be the manslaughter saying that they shouldn't have been on Floyd for 9 minutes. 4.5 minutes, 5 minutes, yes, but 9 minutes, no. And so those extra 4 minutes contributed to the death. I could see that happening. It's not fair, but I could see that happening. But even if that happens, you're going to get riots. And if Chauvin walks, you're going to get riots. So, all right, well, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
All together, shout it now. There's no one who can doubt it now. So let's tell the world.
And we are back, and we are going to get riots. Well, all right, well, are we? Are we? I say we are. What's it going to do? Because a year ago, I mean, the riots were going to come, and they were going to come whether George Floyd died or not. We were going to get riots. If you think back to May of last year, you know, you had Breonna Taylor stuff that was starting to ramp up already. You certainly had, I thought it was going to be the jogger. What was the jogger's name? He had some weird name. It sounded like armed robbery. Was it Ahmed Robbery or something? It sounded like armed robbery. You remember the jogger. And that was a bogus case, and it had been dismissed. But then they were rolling it back out, and it was starting to be a big deal in the news cycle. And then the George Floyd thing happened. But, you know, we had been having for years, we had been having riots. You know, usually one city at a time. I remember Charlotte having its riot. Obviously, St. Louis had the riot after, or Ferguson had the riots right after the Michael Brown thing. And there was something that had happened. What was the guy's name? Was it Freddie Gray in Baltimore? These were all bogus cases. But you were having riots in specific cities. But this happened, like they were going to do the armed, it looked like they were going to do the jogger thing, but this happened you had that picture of Chauvin that looked like he had his hand in his pocket casually as he's got his knee on this guy's neck and choking the life out of him, and they just ran with it, even though they knew that their narrative was completely wrong. So what does it mean for society, and why do it now? Why have another round of riots? Because you might think, well, last year they were trying to get rid of Trump, and that was part of it. They were trying to get rid of Trump, and this was something that was hard for Trump. Although you could also make the case that, I mean, you could make the case that it was something that Trump, could have benefited Trump, because the Democrat forces were clearly supporting the rioters, which made them look bad. But on the other hand, Trump was proving to be ineffectual in stopping anything himself. So I don't know. You could say maybe it benefited Trump. Maybe it was a wash. Maybe it hurt him. In the end, you know, the election was fraudulent. So who knows? But at any rate, you could make the case that the riots, well, you had riots when Trump was president, but they're not going to want to have riots when Biden's president. But I disagree. I say that what would be the purpose of riots while Biden is president? I think the purpose would be they're trying to roll out this whole reparations agenda. Now they've got a president, not that they're trying to overthrow, but they're trying to make it possible for the, when I say president, I mean fake president, for the fake president and his administration to make the case for reparations. I think that's what's going to happen. You're going to have riots, and then to appease the rioters, they're going to have reparations. I mean, you already had, like, Minnesota, or the city of Minneapolis has given, is it $27 million or $29 million? I can't remember. To the family of George Floyd. And when you do the math, it's a lot of money for each resident of Minnesota. If you've got Minneapolis, let's just say for roundness sakes, if it was $30 million and Minnesota's got 300 million people, I'm sorry, 300,000 people, Minneapolis has 300,000 people, that would mean that would be $100 per person, you know, on a per capita basis. Now, Minneapolis has a little more than 300,000 people, and the family got a little less than 30 million. So maybe you're talking about, say, $85 to $90 per person. Well, that means a family of four is getting shaken down for, you know, $350. Each family, $350 has to get donated to George Floyd's family. For what? Right? I mean, it's ridiculous. Now, the thing is, you know that these municipalities have insurance policies, so that money winds up effectively being, that burden is spread out across all of us. We all get to pay, all the people who actually pay for society. You know, we get to pay the family that did such a good job raising this George Floyd. I mean, they had nothing to do with him. They did such a good job producing this exemplary man who was in and out of prison his whole life and was dealing drugs and was a drug addict to the very day he died, and died of an overdose, and was involved in all sorts of criminal activity and this and that. Although I will say, the dancing with the banana thing was pretty cool, and I'm not just saying that. I did think that kind of humanized him in my eyes, that he would be in a convenience. It's not. It was more than a convenience store. It was, you know, as a little grocery market, that he would be dancing with a banana, and according to some people, doing the Donkey Kong dance. And if he was doing the Donkey Kong dance, then I do have some respect for that, because I have been known to, on occasion, if I'm waiting at the checkout line, to break into Michael Jackson-style moonwalk, depending on what kind of shoes I'm wearing. So I do relate to that type of thing. And I haven't had a drink in 40 years. So that's not even evidence that he was that whacked out, frankly. It's just is evidence that there was some spark of humanity in him. And he liked Donkey Kong. Here's more. Let's just say you get riots. And let's just say you got fake President Biden or Chlamydia Harris, and they're trying to push a reparations agenda with it. People are getting sick of it. What's Ron DeSantis going to say, right? I mean, is he our de facto leader now, Ron DeSantis? Is he the new leader of the non-anti-white faction of the United States? Because it was Donald Trump, but Donald Trump is being held incognito now, it seems, so we don't get to hear what he has to say. What is this going to accelerate the, centrifugal processes that are underway? Because the United States there's not a whole lot of cohesion here. The United States could go the way of the old Soviet Union. I've been saying it over and over again, and this is something that could further that process, accelerate that process. There's a lot of stuff going on with the corona hoaxes and everything, and a new round of riots. And, well, I don't know. And then here, you get to this other question. Here's another question. You know, I'm looking at this trial, and I'm also, you know, I'm a social scientist, and I look at the sociology of this, and you just look at what's happened to society. Here's something, and you could make the same case with the corona hoax. You know, we're not allowed to sue over vaccines, right? But we've had the media pushing the necessity for us all to get vaccinated. But we can't sue if anything bad happens. Well, if something bad happens and we can't sue the vaccine manufacturers, why not have a class action suit against the media that pushed it on us with false information? I mean, at some point, we have to... You talk about holding people accountable. Got to hold the media accountable. So for the damage they caused with the corona hoax, how about holding the media accountable for lying about this whole George Floyd thing, for inciting riots? Can't you hold the media accountable? And when I say the media, I mean particularly like CNN. Can you hold CNN accountable for inciting riots? I say you should. They are not just the enemy of the people. They are at war with the people. And, you know, it's not like I'm trying to whoop up a bunch of anti-Jewish sentiment, but the thing is, Jews do dominate the media. And what do I mean by dominate? I mean that there is such a preponderance of Jews in the ownership and management and upper echelon personnel of these media companies that they have an effective veto over certain topics, that they're able to maintain certain taboos, and that they most of the time are able to keep the media narrative in line with what the Jewish community feels are its own priorities and, preferential narratives. I hope I said that clearly enough. So you do have a Jewish-dominated media, and the media is clearly at war with the people. It's so fake, and they've overthrown the government. The media had a massive role. It's not only the media, but they had a massive role in the fake election. And they're destabilizing society. And then I'll get back to this issue of these white women in the ghetto. Why are they there? Why are these white women in the ghetto? And, you know, you look at this woman, what was her name? Something Ross, I don't know. She was supposedly George Floyd's girlfriend, right? And, you know, she's middle-aged. She's, what, 45. She's got two sons. Yet she's got two sons, and I guess, I don't know if they're black sons, because it seems as if, I don't know. I'd like to know some of the backstory here, but there's a lot that can't be introduced as evidence for whatever reason. I don't know all the rules of court. But, you know, so she's there, and the prosecution called her up, and they asked her, how did she meet George Floyd? And she just got to smile, and she says, I love telling this story. And she tells the story. And the story's, you know, it's really kind of sick. I mean, she tells it, like, in this sappy voice with all these smiles, and she's reminiscing of her great love, George Floyd. But, you know, she's going to visit her baby daddy at the YMCA. At the Salvation Army, where he's in like some sort of halfway house or something. And, you know, she's waiting for him to come down. And while she's waiting for him to come down, George Floyd just comes and picks her up. You know, he says, let's pray. And then before you know it, they're making out. And this is her own admission. And how would this have ever been acceptable? I mean, you think back, I don't know. Okay, so I used to watch Upstairs Downstairs, and I know that's fiction. And on Upstairs Downstairs, this is from 50 years ago, the butler was named Hudson, and he was a Scotsman, and he was the head of the servants, right? But he knew his place. He's still a servant. But on his day off, what did he like to do? He liked to go out to Old Bailey and listen to the great lawyers of the time argue their cases. And just imagine old Hudson from, you know, 100 years ago in Britain at Old Bailey, and he's listening to some woman reminiscing about having gone to have like a meeting with her baby daddy, who was probably black. Well, I don't know, but I would assume so. Whatever. Baby daddy about something, and then while she's waiting for her baby daddy to come down, some other enormous black guy comes up and says, let's pray together. And then before you know it, they're making out. And how would that woman not be immediately said, well, this is somebody of a very poor character, and how can we why would we listen to anything she has to say? Whatever. But people would be appalled back then at that kind of behavior. She's making out with him, like, you know, according to her own story, like within minutes of meeting him, she's making out with him. And yet she's going to, you know, she's going to get some sort of book deal. I mean, she's not part of the family, so I don't think she gets a cut of that $27 million or whatever it was. But, you know, she's going to get a book deal. And how many people would buy and read that book? Well, a lot of other, you know, pathetic, middle-aged social justice warriors or whatever they are, a lot of them would buy that. How much of an advance is she going to get on that book? You know, not that she's going to be writing it, but it will be written on her behalf, and it will be about her great love affair with George Floyd and all this. And is she going to get 50,000? Will she get $500,000? I don't know what she'll get. I don't know that much about the publishing industry, but I know she's going to get something out of it, her life with George Floyd. And so she's going to cash in. And this whole thing is just utterly disgusting. But it's a major phenomenon. And our country's falling apart. Can Humpty Dumpty be put back together? Is it worth being put back together? It's falling apart. Are we going to have two different unions form? Are you going to get some states or parts of states that are going to secede and set up a new union? Or are they going to claim to be the legitimate union? Is there going to be a struggle over federal assets? you've got, for instance, you've got military bases here and there. If Texas was to leave the Union, what happens to Fort Hood? Does that remain a United States Army base? What happens to it? These are very, very complicated things, and we are headed into some very, very complicated times. Okay, I'll be right back.
Way down on the levee in old Alabama, there's Daddy and Mammy, there's Ephraim and Sammy. On a moonlight night you can find them all while they're waiting. The banjos are syncopating, what's that they're saying? Oh, what's that they're saying? The while they keep playing, I'm humming and swaying. It's the good ship Robert E. Lee has come to carry the cotton away. Watch him shoveling along.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having. And I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, KosherTify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, I was just doing a quick check of the news before I send this off to RBN. And I thought I saw something on Revolver News that said, forget China. The real threat to America is our own ruling class. But they weren't linking to the article that I wrote a couple weeks ago and posted on DavidDuke.com. I think that's still up at the top, or maybe what's at the top is something about Tucker. At any rate, though, the idea is getting through. I think the idea is getting through would rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
seeing is we don't seem to be willing to rule ourselves, but we got to stand up for ourselves. So let's do that. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what the Goyim say. You're riding high in 1912, shot down on D-Day. But I know I'm gonna change that too. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life.
That's life.
And it seems to be the case. Antifa like to get their kicks stomping on my face. But I don't let it get me down. Cause this dreidel world, it keeps spinning around. I'm called a racist, a bigot, a hater, a Nazi, and KKK. I've been to Washington and Charlottesville, and I can say, each time I find myself punched right in my face, the Jewish judge locks me up because of my race. Well, that's life.
That's life.
You know, that's what they tell you. Porno and fentanyl, babe. That's what they sell you. And if you don't mind your P's and Q's, you're gonna find yourself in trouble with the Jews. I'm called a racist, a bigot, a hater, a Nazi, and KKK. I've been to Washington and Charlottesville, and I can say, each time I find myself punched right in my face, the Jewish judge locks me up because of my race. Well, that's life.
That's life.
You know, that's what they tell you. Porno and fentanyl, baby. That's what you tell you. And if you don't mind your P's and Q's, gonna find yourself in a heap of trouble with the
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.